O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday. It's September 9th, 2015. Jason, I'm going to need a little look back into some history and then look forward into the future. I have a couple questions about what happened this past Sunday night because I wasn't able to attend the special gathering at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. And then I know on Saturday you're participating in a special program. In fact, on Friday, I think we'll have those special guests. So what's going to happen on our Friday edition of Mark and Friends, because I'm going to give out some gifts today in lieu of the fact that we'll have guests in the studio on Friday to talk about an event I think that's happening on Saturday.
Sure. On Friday, we're going to feature the ladies from 40 Days for Life. And 40 Days for Life is a kind of a non-confrontational ministry that goes and they stand outside for 40 days. It'll begin the third week of September this year. It runs 40 consecutive days, and they have people there anytime Planned Parenthood is open. And they just stand outside and they pray. They're allowed by law to walk on the sidewalk, so they'll walk back and forth. They'll pray. They can interact with people who are going in and out, but they can't do it in such a way that it creates a upheaval or, you know, it just creates craziness. So what they really do is just pray, and then they just offer to pray with those people. And so it's really a great and powerful ministry who's seen quite a few women reconsider their decision to go in and have an abortion.
Now, when you say that they pray, will this be something where our listeners will be encouraged to come out and participate or be involved?
Sure. When the ladies are here on Friday, they're going to give information as to how we can get invested, we can get involved. There are time slots you can take. So I know that our church in particular is taking Thursday from 1 to 2 and Friday from 1 to 2. Those are 2 days when the Urbana Planned Parenthood does abortions. And so our church specifically wanted a day when we knew they were going to be in there doing this thing. And we wanted to be outside praying, you know, that the Lord would just close the doors and he would just stop this thing right now. Or that he would, as he's done many different scenarios, convict the hearts of those who are working inside. I mean, one of the most powerful voices, pro-life voices now, is Abby Johnson. And she was a Planned Parenthood director for many, many years. And then after seeing these abortions, and I think it was after she saw an abortion done via sonogram, and she could actually see what was happening, it changed her heart, and God really invaded in there and said, there's no way you can possibly live with yourself and keep doing this. And so, very powerful voices, a very powerful ministry, and yeah, there'll be some pathways to be able to get invested and involved in that ministry. I think it's one of the great ministries that's happening in Champaign. There are many great ministries in Champaign, but I think it's one of the great ones that, along with Living Alternatives, that's standing up for life and really trying to encourage and be a great aid and assistance to women who are considering abortion, who have come out. I know that the ladies from 40 Days for Life provide diapers to a number of families. A lot of people don't know is that diapers is something that's not covered by any kind of assistance program. So whether it's state or federal assistance, you can get assistance to buy formula, we get food stamps to buy food, you can get assistance for all that. But the one thing you can't get assistance for is diapers. And what's the one thing, if we have babies, what's the one thing that babies go through? I know when we had Samuel was first born, I mean, you go through like 10 diapers a day. I mean, you go through a lot of diapers, and diapers are not cheap. And so that's one of the ways that I know, like our church, we collect diapers. So we call it our diaper drop, and that's a place where you can drop off diapers, and we give them to 40 Days for Life, and we give them to Living Alternatives, because it's one of the great ways that you can be an encouragement, because it's a huge financial burden, diapers. And so it's one way that when you say to a mom, you know, we'll give you diapers, you don't have to worry about that. Sometimes it's the simplest things that cause them to go, you know what, maybe I'm going to reconsider my decision here.
So they will be our special guests on Friday. And then what's going on Saturday so people can maybe plan to attend?
On Saturday, the event is called Celebrate Life, which is being sponsored by the 40 Days for Life folks. And it's going to be at Holy Cross Church, 405 West Clark Street in Champaign. It's going to be from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. And what it's going to be is a mixture of musical guests, speakers. I'm going to be speaking there for about 15 to 20 minutes on the biblical understanding. You know, God is creator, and what has God done, and what does God continue to do, and when does life begin, and really what our mission is in this. I believe personally, you know, I guess I don't really give away my talk, but you know,
sneak preview.
Yeah, sneak preview. I don't know what we'll call it. But I mean, I just believe that there's one issue that as Christians we have to interact with. There's one issue that we have to stand upon. There's one issue that we have to fight back against. That's the issue of abortion. It is, in my opinion, it is murder. And it's murder of a high magnitude because it is defenseless babies. It is babies who don't, these babies can't fight for themselves. Although if you do watch, they've got some really stunning video, and stunning is only if you're into watching, you know, something that is absolutely shocking and heartbreaking, but stunning because they've had some video surface where they've watched a baby during abortion and they fight. They fight against it. With all that they can, as much as this little, but you would be shocked that these little babies have, these little people, they have fully formed arms and fingers and feet and all of this, and you watch them fight and you think they're fighting and who will fight for them. And I just think that as Christians, you know, I'm a one-issue voter. So many of the other issues are just convoluted, and I don't know how we change or affect or really engage them. But this is one issue. I mean, if you're pro-abortion, I'm not voting for you on any level. I'm just not going to, because that means that you're for murder, and that's a character thing for me. Then I go, well, then what else are you for? What other places will you bludgeon and turn a blind eye to suffering? Because if you're a politician, your primary job is to care for the people. And you're not caring for the people on the high order of 50 million since the late 70s, Roe versus Wade. And so, yeah, you didn't get me started on this.
And where's this happening on Saturday?
This is going to be at Holy Cross Church, and that's at 405 West Clark Street in Champaign. Again, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Come for as little as you want, for as long as you want. There's going to be all kinds of music. There's going to be speakers. There's going to be information. There's going to be ways there that you can engage this and be able to learn how you can become a part of this movement. You know, one of the greatest things I tell people, I said, you know, we can do all kinds of wonderful things. But when we gather together and we lift up our voices, we lift up our prayers, we position ourselves in such a way that we can be heard, those numbers matter. And so I think it's important that we would do this.
Now, so Friday's guests are not affiliated with Saturday's event. So those are two separate things.
No, they are.
Oh, they're working together.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. And then Greta Henry, our good friend Greta Henry from Living Alternative, she'll be speaking that night at Holy Cross Church. And so just as a whole, it's going to be a great event. Again, all these different voices from all these different denominations and ministries are coming together to just say, hey, you know what? We stand for life. And look at that. That's what Jesus said. Didn't Jesus say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? And therefore, if Jesus has such a high view of life and life in him, then ought we not have the same view?
Mm-hmm. So tune in Friday, and you'll learn more about Saturday. And Saturday's event begins at 4 p.m., and there'll be various speakers, including music. And that'll happen at Holy
Cross Church, 405 West Clark Street in Champaign.
Beginning at 4 o'clock, and come anytime, and it'll go from 4 to 9 approximately.
Sure.
Okay, so that'll be Friday's edition of Mark and Friends, and then the event is on Saturday. And also on Friday and Saturday, before we call out three names for prizes, there's a special adoption garage sale fundraiser happening in Gifford at Rademachers, 113 South Main Street. And these are three area families from the Gifford area. In fact, they are, I think, all attend the same church, and they all are adopting different children internationally. One couple's getting a child from India, one couple is adopting a child from China, and then I think from the Philippines. And so they're going to have all sorts of stuff available, from furniture, bikes, knickknacks, sporting goods, clothing, home decor, on and on. I think somebody donated 100 bales of hay, and all the proceeds are going to help these three families with the adoption costs. And so it's happening Friday from 8 to 8, 8 in the morning to 8 p.m. at Rademachers in downtown Gifford, and then Saturday 8 to 4 p.m. So stop by there and then head over to Holy Cross in Urbana for the event from basically 4 to 9 p.m. So that's this Saturday. So some great things. Okay, because we're going to have the special guests in the studio on Friday. As we continue with our 2020 campaign, we have three names. I have some gifts laid out, and the first recipient of a Texas Roadhouse coupon, our Daily Bread 90-Day Sample Edition, a CD from Jan Mulder, and a Dr. David Jeremiah Scripture Reference Guide, 50-plus topics, where to go in the New Testament when, and this is going to John and Ann Neff from Champaign, so they'll get those fun little gifts. Thanks for being a part of the 2020 campaign. And then, let's see, here, there's a little pile of goodies that are going to be given away.
Sure, we have Fred and Catherine Starbird, and they are from Champaign, Illinois, and they're going to get a Texas Roadhouse appetizer, daily bread sampler. They're going to get Why Don't I Feel My Faith from Ravi Zacharias and United Captured by God's Vision for Diversity by Trillia J. Newbull.
Yeah, we interviewed her some time ago.
We did. She's working on a new book. I just talked to her the other day, so...
Well, great. And you can see I'm trying to clear out some of the prize cabinet.
You certainly are.
You're like, wow, two, three, multiple.
At some point, somebody's going to get a VHS tape because I know they're in there.
Yeah.
You have Betamax in there, don't you?
There's things in there that, like, if I reach back far enough, it's like, wow, these.
There's an 8-track tape back there.
Yeah, the Singing Men's cassettes are in there, and it's like, who's
reel to reel.
So,
stuff from when Billy Graham was young.
Yes. Yeah, Billy Graham's first pastorate. Oh. Okay, and then the final recipient of these gifts for being a part of the 2020 challenge are Mark and Brenda Berkey from Fooslin, appetizer coupon Texas Roadhouse, our daily bread, Ravi Zacharias, What is Worthwhile Under the Sun? I'm sure that'll be good. What does pleasure accomplish? Interesting. And then they're going to get a copy of Jim Powell's Dirt Matters, the Foundation for a Healthy, Vibrant, an effective congregation. We interviewed a Jim.
Peoria. In fact, he's got a really been moving out into a powerful ministry in Africa, in Kenya, and that, equipping pastors and that. It's been interesting to watch his journey.
Yeah, we'll have to get him back on one of these days. So, all right, let's see. So that was the future. I was asking you what's going on Friday and Saturday. What happened this past Sunday as Peggy Shapiro spoke? And we may even air some of that in the coming days. We're still working that out to see if it's something that'll be of interest to you, our Great News Radio listener. But I know a number of people showed up, including Jewish and Christian and maybe some people that are beginning their faith journey.
Yeah, it was a nice mix and diversity crowd. There's probably 50 or 60 people who showed up to hear about it. And Peggy just walked through understanding why this Iran deal is a bad deal. And she didn't say it as we're negative towards any deal with Iran. She was just saying we need as Christians, as Jews, as people to ask for a better deal. Ask for a deal that has the right kind of oversight, the right kind of, I didn't even really realize that, we have to give like 21 days notice before we do an inspection. And then, it's enough time that if you had something you didn't want people to see, you would just move it.
Yeah.
And then we've also, I didn't realize this, that there are some places that are marked off limits. Like, we're not allowed to go there. So if you're going to build something that you're not allowed to have, wouldn't you build it in the off-limit zone?
Yes.
She just walked through all these different things that we need to know about this, need to understand about this. And she did it in such a way, I think, that was really powerful. And one of the things that she opened with and she closed with is she said, she uses Hebrew word hunani, which is like a calling out to. And so, she just said, look, I called out to this one person and they answered. And then this one person came and sat in my office and we decided that as a church we would interact with this. We would engage this and have Peggy come and share. And then I shared with you, Mark, and then you reached out to the Great News Radio listeners. And then those people came in. And so the idea is that this hunani, this kind of calling out, it continues to happen. It continues and it progresses. And so that's one of the responsibilities, I think, because we had one person ask me afterwards. They said, do you guys always, are you this political as a church? And I said, I don't view this as being political. I view this as interacting with the world around us. If we just stay within our Christian bubble, at some point that's toxic, that's not safe, that's not good, because the rest of the world is moving around outside of us, and our call is to be not of the world, but to be in the world. I find it fascinating. People will say to me, but as a church you're not supposed to be political. Well, when Jesus was asked about, they tried to trap him, and they said, what are you going to do with government? Jesus said, we'll give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. That does mean to me that Jesus knew what belonged to Caesar. He knew. He understood the taxation. He understood what Caesar was doing. He even knew who Caesar was. Now, some of listening will say, well, but Jesus, that's because he's God. Well, yes, but that for us, that's the highest example. And so the highest example actually said, this is valid. He interacted with it. Romans 13 interacts with how do we deal with systems of authority. And so I think as Christians, we can't shy away from that. And I I think we have to be smart in how we do it. I think we have to be smart in how we articulate it. I think we have to be careful not to get kind of caught up in the political wrangling, you know, and get caught up in taking sides, whether it's Democrat or Republican, you know, conservative or liberal. I think those as Christians are views that we carry, but we have to first and foremost come with truth. And the truth about this was that it's a bad deal. The truth about it is that it's not a good deal, that it doesn't benefit a great number of people. And how about this? I mean, I was thinking about this out of our Conversations Matters that we had with Bob Sievers, where he did a really great job of saying, look at, you know, these Islamists, these Muslims, even these people in ISIS, these people are created in God's image. Now, they, because of sinfulness, they've departed from that. But they are, the Bible says, that is the arm of the Lord too short? No, it's not too short. And therefore, they're created in God's image and can be reclaimed by the gospel. And so we don't just go, well, that's evil and that's not good and that's hard-hearted and that's unholy. And we kind of divide ourselves from that. I spoke on Sunday morning. I said, you know, in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, it says Jesus saw the crowds and he looked on them with compassion. Mm-hmm. I think that Jesus would look upon ISIS with compassion and he would say, oh, my children, how you have wandered so far. And what does he say in that passage? He says they are like sheep without a shepherd. And that's what he would say about that. And so the same thing happened. The same thing, I believe, with this Iran deal is that there are Iranians who probably don't want this. There are Iranians who this is not going to serve well. This is only going to push forward the terrorism and kind of the regime which oppresses people. This doesn't create freedom. It just creates a different kind or a greater kind of oppression. And so I think as Christians we have to engage with the truth. We have to talk about these things. I don't know about how you feel about it, Mark, but one of the things that I just feel as Christians that we miss the boat on so often is using our God-given wisdom, knowledge, and voice to offer truth into situations. Or to even say, you know what, I don't know if I totally understand if it's a good deal or it's a bad deal, but let's talk about what God says. Because God has some things to say about what truth is. God has some things to say about these things. And so let's interact with that. I thought it was a good time. I thought that she really did a wonderful job of highlighting and giving us kind of a linear argument to say, okay, this is this, this is this, this is this, and because of those things, now this happens, and because of this, and let's look historically at how other situations very much like this played out. And so, and then at the end, she just closed with kind of that hunani, that I'm calling you now to go out and to talk to your grandkids and your kids and your kids' kids and all that. I mean, I'm calling you to go out and to share. I mean, so I really love that she did that because I think that that's probably the most important part. That's the therefore go part, where we go and we share and we talk and we have these conversations. And I know that these conversations today are probably even harder to have because in this kind of age of intolerance, and intolerance means we're not even tolerant of ideas that challenge us towards better ideas, that I know those are harder to have, but I think that we need to have them. I think they're powerful. It's those kinds of conversations in the past that led us to greater places.
And I agree with that, and I know, and the fact that I wasn't there, but it wasn't like, you know, when things get political, it's usually because one group is bashing the other group,
right.
And it wasn't like a bashing of a different party or a different point of view.
She never even really brought up names until during the question and answer. A couple of people specifically mentioned names, and she said, well, I don't know about that, and I don't understand why. I mean, and I have to give her credit. She was very intellectually honest in saying, I don't understand why these people are making this decision. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying, I think as sometimes we do in those political situations, we say, well, it's because they're bad, it's because they're this, it's because of that. She said, I don't understand what there is to gain by this,
yeah.
And I don't know why they're doing, but let's go back to the center. I do know that this is not a good deal.
Yeah.
I do know that this doesn't serve and make things better. And she did a good job, I think, of laying out, too, how this creates a Middle Eastern arms race. In fact, so much so that there already are many news articles that the Saudis, the Jordanians, and those are seeking out how do they gain nuclear weapons, because one country in there can't have that.
Right.
And, of course, then this will bring to light, and we've always known this, at least if we've kept our ears somewhat to the ground, that Israel has had nuclear weapons for many, many years. They've not been forthright about that program in terms of touting it and saying, look at all of our nuclear arms. But, I mean, everybody is pretty well. It was funny because there was a guy who was there who shared with me, he said, you know, I spent a lot of time in Israel, and I have family, relatives, everybody's in Israel. And he says, we have this thing that's called, the Samson Plan, which the Samson Plan is if anybody invades or anybody attacks, they hurl everything. Because they have been historically taken captive, historically, oppressed, that it will not happen again. They will lunge forth the entire country of Israel at their enemy before they give any ground. I think that that also speaks from the fact of where is Israel positioned. I mean, there is nobody who surrounds Israel who is looking to gain Israel's land. I mean, the impetus for all the action is we just want to destroy them, and that's a much harder enemy to deal with. In Israel, we've been there. It's not that big. I mean, a couple of nuclear missiles, and I mean, you take out Jerusalem, and I mean, the country is done.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be pretty tough to come back from that. So, I mean, how do you deal with nations around you who it's not even like they want to invade and have your land anymore? They just want to see you destroyed.
Yeah.
Elimination.
Hey, sneak preview. You're in Isaiah this Sunday. What can a listener that maybe isn't affiliated with an area church that's, I don't want to say shopping around, but wants to hear a good biblical message, what's going to happen with Isaiah this Sunday?
Oh, Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to do the first part of 40. We're actually going to spend 2 or 3 weeks on 40 because 40 is such an important turning point in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, most of the scholars would agree that Isaiah is considered the Bible in miniature. There's 66 chapters in Isaiah. There's 66 books in the Bible. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah deal primarily with judgment. They almost mirror and mimic the movements of the Old Testament. When you pass over into the 40th chapter, suddenly you begin to see a mirror of the last of the 27 books of the New Testament. So I'm excited that as we get into 40 finally, we're going to start to talk about comfort and the divine things that God is going to do as he brings forth this message of this Messiah that's going to come. And just, I mean, what the kindness just amazing kind of nature of God that he shares that with Isaiah. He shares it with people who will never even get to see it. And I think that that's just so powerful. So Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to be inviting for verses 1 through 12 or 15 or something like that. And it promises to be good.
And I asked that because I slipped into thinking it was Friday already. We're talking about the weekend, and it's like, oh, it's still only Wednesday, so people have lots of time to plan on where to attend. The Community Evangelical Free Church is in Mahomet, right on Route 47 and River Bend Boulevard. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.